The current Supreme Court session is coming to a close. There are still decisions expected on cases involving the Ten Commandments and online file sharing, among others. But speculation is focused on the future of Chief Justice William Rehnquist. Will he or won't he retire? We've asked NPR's Nina Totenberg to give us a primer on the role of the Chief Justice. Nina, what is the job of Chief Justice, actually?
Well, the Chief Justice is the Chief Justice of the United States, meaning he's the head of the judicial branch. He's the head of the Judicial Conference, and that's the body that oversees the administration of the federal courts. He oversees the budget for the federal courts, deals with Congress about it, appoints the committees that write the rules of evidence and procedure. He appoints the judges who sit on special courts, like the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Court that gives the government warrants for national security taps. He also oversees the administration of the Supreme Court, but with the assent of the other justices. And he has some duties, Robert, that you wouldn't expect. He's the head of the 17-member governing board for the Smithsonian Institution.
Well, he is one of nine Supreme Court justices. Does he have a lot more power than the associate justices?
They each have one vote, and woe be it to the Chief Justice who acts unilaterally on anything involving the actual work of the court. The others will smack him down pretty hard. But having said that, the Chief Justice does have some real power. First of all, he assigns who will write an opinion if he's in the majority, so he can hand out good opinions, or dogs, as they're known. If he's not in the majority, the senior justice in the majority, usually John Paul Stevens in this case, makes the assignment. One of the reasons Rehnquist is so well-liked, though, by all his colleagues, is that in contrast to his predecessor, Warren Burger, he has assigned opinions on a straightforward, efficient, and fair basis, often giving himself a fair number of dogs, and giving the writing task to a justice who is able to hold a five-justice majority together. The Chief Justice also presides at the court's public and private deliberating sessions, and he can do it efficiently, as Rehnquist has, or not.
Who are regarded as the great chief justices in history?
Well, most historians would say Chief Justice John Marshall, who served from 1801 to 1835, and Chief Justice Earl Warren in modern times. Marshall established the concept of judicial review, that's the power to invalidate actions by Congress or the executive branch, and Warren managed to bring a fractured court together in 1954 and deliver a unanimous opinion in Brown versus the Board of Education, ordering the desegregation of public schools. The second tier of greats would probably be William Howard Taft, a former president, who, when he became Chief Justice, oversaw the creation of the judiciary as an important administrative and political entity, and Charles Evans Hughes, who had nearly beaten Woodrow Wilson for the presidency, and who, in a position at the ideological center of the court, presided over a smooth transition from a court dominated by the Republican right when he got there to a court dominated by New Deal justices when he left.
So what do you think makes a great Chief Justice, then?
I think it's really an intangible. It's that quality of leadership, of getting people to work with you and for you. When Warren arrived, as one clerk put it, the clouds lifted and the sun was shining. All of these great chief justices were great political figures before becoming chief. All followed weak chief justices, as did Rehnquist. But remember, when you think of great justices, many of them were not chief. In the early 1900s, there was Brandeis and Holmes. And I got to tell you, in the modern court, the current court, the one thing I learned from reading the Blackmun papers a year ago, Robert, for a month, was that the man most underestimated on the modern court is Justice John Paul Stevens, whose analysis, consensus-building ability, and opinion assignment strategy have made him often the force to be reckoned with behind the scenes.
Thank you, Nina.
Thank you, Robert.
NPR Legal Affairs correspondent Nina Totenberg.